Here in Jeremiah 30, we have one of many prophecies about what could have happened to the exiles in Babylon when they returned. Jeremiah is saying, look, you are going to go into captivity, but you are going to ultimately return and be restored. And one of the big themes here in Jeremiah 30 is that they would not fear, and they should not fear. Verse 10, therefore, don't you be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, says Yahweh, neither be dismayed, Israel. And when you go through the later part of Isaiah, all through chapter 41, 43, 44, all the way through, they're constantly being told, do not fear, do not be frightened, because God is going to re-establish the kingdom and he is going to bless them. Isaiah 54, you afflicted, tossed with tempest, I think referring to how Judah was, as it were, tossed around during the 70 years captivity. They were scattered all over the provinces of the Babylonian and then the Persian Empire, as you can see from the decrees that were made by Haman, translated into all different languages where the Jews were. You who've been tossed around as in a tempest, I will lay your stones with fair colours, lay your foundation stones with sapphires. Talking about how God was going to help them to rebuild the temple. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear. You shall be far from terror. It will not come near you. And yet, when you look at the actual record of what happened when a few of the exiles did return in Ezra and Nehemiah, you get the very strong impression of a fearful community. Ezra 3 verse 3, they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. Nehemiah 6, they all made us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened from the work, this is of rebuilding the walls, that it be not done. And Nehemiah pretty well quotes these words of Jeremiah in chapter 4 and tells the people not to fear. So, what happened? Did they return without fear, or did they fear? Well, they feared. So these promises were therefore conditional. And of course, the vast majority of them remained in captivity. They preferred the soft life. They'd assimilated. They didn't want to return. And so they didn't. Such a huge potential was wasted. But the idea was that they could return without fear, because God was going to absolutely bless them and bring about his purpose of re-establishing the kingdom. See here in Jeremiah 30 again in verse 10, behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity, that's the Jews in exile, and Jacob shall return, and shall be quiet and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. But as we've seen from Ezra and Nehemiah, they did return, or a few of them did, but they were far from living in ease and quiet. They had many who made them afraid. So they gave in to their fears when they need not. And so I want to think a little bit about fear, because fear is really the opposite of faith, and faith essentially means to trust. That is what the Hebrew and the Greek words translated faith, or to believe, really mean, to trust. And I think that our biggest fear, the biggest fear, in fact, of every human being, although it is on a subconscious level, is that God will not save me. I shall be condemned. I shall not be in God's kingdom. And this is where the good news of the kingdom speaks directly to man's deepest fear. The good news of the kingdom is not simply that a kingdom is going to come for somebody, for some lucky people, but that I personally will be saved, that I shall be there. Though I should not be, by his grace I will be. It is that which addresses the deepest fear. Now, even an atheist may say, oh no, I don't have that fear, but underneath there is that fear. I do believe we're talking about the deep subconscious. And it is here that you find that the good news of the gospel addresses that hole in the deepest heart, which is there in every human being. That fear somewhere, that there is a God and I shall miss out, that I shall not be in his kingdom and whatever he has prepared for those who love him. We think of our own dysfunctions, our sins, our weaknesses, historically, present, probably future. And, you know, we do, in our weakness, fear. But we should not fear. Because this is the very good news of the gospel. That deepest subconscious psychological fear of rejection by your Creator is met. Even though you are a sinner, the Lord Jesus was not. And if you have been baptized and you are abiding in Christ, you do not have that fear. As we're told in John's Gospel, we have passed from condemnation, out of darkness to light. We are free from fear of condemnation. And so that gap in the human heart, that fears condemnation, it is this which is met absolutely in the true gospel of the kingdom of God. And as I say, that gospel is not simply facts about a coming kingdom, that I know that God shall establish a kingdom upon this earth, but believing that good news yourself, which is somewhat different to simply knowing facts about it, but actually believing that, wow, I shall be there. And so this is why in every occasion when angels have appeared to men on earth, their first words have been, fear not. We're told that the Lord Jesus will send his angels and gather together his chosen ones when he comes. The first we will know that the Lord is back will be an angel. Whether you're dead and you're going to be resurrected, or whether you are alive and remain at the Lord's coming, the first we shall know is an angel. Wow, this is it. And the first words, fear not.